Hi, welcome to Bookie. Today we will unlock the book, The Secrets of Consulting, a guide to giving and getting advice successfully. When it comes to consulting, we usually think of consultants in suits and leather shoes, chatting in the office, giving people professional advice, and helping them solve problems. But in reality, consulting is much more than that. It is no exaggeration to say that consulting is a part of all of our lives. For example, your neighbor might ask you what ingredients to use to make delicious bread, your child might ask you which university to go to, or your colleague might ask you for help on how to quickly gather materials for a report. These requests are all seeking consultation. So, what can we do to better help others when consulting? The Secrets of Consulting is here to answer this question. This is a book full of consulting wisdom and experience. It reveals the secrets of counseling that can be difficult to write in words. The author combines his dual perspectives of systems science and psychology with 20 years of professional consulting experience into hundreds of easy-to-understand rules. With them, he shares wisdom on giving and seeking advice, including how to find the root of the problem, how to better give advice to others, how to gain customer trust, and how to market yourself. The language of the book is witty with vivid examples. The author analyzes methods and strategies of counseling through humorous and meaningful stories, which makes it an easy and fun read. In fact, this is not just a manual for consultants, as it does not only share how to succeed as a professional consultant, but can also serve as a great reference for ordinary readers on how to deal with other people's problems in their daily lives. Today, we focus on three parts to help share with you the essence of this book's content. Part 1. What is consulting about? Part 2. How to help customers solve problems. Part 3. How to become a good consultant. Weinberg believes that consulting is all about the art of influencing someone at their request. Here, the emphasis is on at their request. If the influence comes as unwanted, then it is not consulting. For example, it doesn't count as a consultation when a judge sentences a criminal to 30 years of hard labor, teachers make students read 30 pages of a difficult book, or bosses send employees on a 30-day business trip, because there is a power imbalance. Judges, teachers, and bosses have the power to make others do things. Likewise, when a car salesman, an insurance salesman, or a supermarket salesman reaches a deal, even though they have no power, they cannot be called consultants if they sell without being solicited by others. Therefore, the idea of consultation is that people make requests. For example, psychological counselors provide psychological treatment at patients' request, beauty consultants provide skincare at customers' request, and family therapists provide parent-child relationship repair advice at the request of parents or children. Of course, consulting is not always smooth, and one often encounters some challenges from the requester themselves, making the consulting work difficult. For example, during a consultation, the consultant often has clients who tell them, "We really have no problems. There is nothing that we can't handle." This is more than a little confusing. Why hire a consultant then? Weinberg believes that it's not really that there are no problems. It's just that people don't want to admit that they have them. In these kinds of situations, instead of trying to solve the problem straight away, we should first understand their root concerns. He brings up Sherby's Laws for Consulting, phrases invented by another consultant, to provide a solution. Sherby's first law of consulting says, in spite of what your client may tell you, there's always a problem. The customer are often concerned that admitting there is a problem means admitting they are not capable enough to solve it, though most would acknowledge that improvements can be made. So, Weinberger writes, don't go too far when facing such a concern. A strategy he recommends is for consultants to first assure the customer that they are very competent and ask them if there is room for less than 10% improvement. An improvement of less than 10% reassures the client that they are good enough and don't have a large problem, so consultants can alleviate the customer's resistance. If eventually you achieve more than 10%, don't brag about them. Instead, you should credit them all to the client. Consultants who don't hide their success often don't get new jobs either. If they do admit to having a problem, people tend to frame it as a technical problem. Even if it's really a technical problem, it can trace to a person's action or inaction. So Weinberg reminds consultants that no matter what a problem might look like at first, it will always be a people problem. Instead of getting caught up in the fog of technology, advisors need to look for people who should have avoided this problem. Beyond this, Weinberg reminds consultants to look at issues from the client's point of view. In fact, to the client, a consultant also means someone who helps you solve problems that you think you can solve. Therefore, we must not directly point out the nature of the problem, but take into account the face of the employer. Don't give a straightforward solution. This is forcing the client to admit that something was wrong before. In short, Weinberg believes that the starting point for consultants is not just finding a solution, but also thinking about people's feelings and dispelling their concerns. Simply put, when people encounter problems, they have both the need to solve the problem and maintain their self-worth. Consultants can only truly help by balancing these two needs. Another difficulty consultants may face is problems which they cannot solve with logical and conventional thinking. Weinberg relates a personal story from a consultation he provided. For no reason, the company's payroll program froze after only processing the payroll of the first employee. The programmers explained a whole bunch of logical reasons why this situation didn't make sense, but it happened anyway, and all possible solutions they tried didn't work. Weinberg thought to himself that he would then try an unconventional method. He made up a fictional employee, Aaron Aardvark, put Aaron's time card at the front, and ran the program again. His time card was rejected because Aaron wasn't real, but the rest of the staff's payroll was processed flawlessly. Some consultants may be confused about this solution because they don't know what the rationale is behind it. Weinberg also can't give a logical explanation. To this end, Weinberg proposes another consulting rule: don't be rational, be reasonable. It doesn't matter whether it's logical or not. What matters is solving the problem. As such, anything is reasonable as long as it can act as a solution. Sometimes, consultants may encounter conflicting requests from clients, such as, "Give us the lowest cost solution, but don't cut staff." At this point, if the consultant agrees to these unreasonable expectations, it will lead to a lack of progress in the consulting work because it is simply impossible to achieve. The correct answer should be, then what other things are you willing to compromise on? This is what Weinberg proposes as the trade-off treatment. That is, to improve one aspect, you must sacrifice another. This kind of compromise exists in any industry, and consultants must understand and apply it to their consulting work so that the problem-solving process can get on the right track. That wraps up part one, summarizing what consulting is all about. First, consulting is about helping customers according to their requirements. Second, we shared some of the difficulties of consulting itself. Finally, we explained that consultation is used to solve the conflicting problems customers have.